welcome to Freedom Flame Radio. I am your host, Eve Kerr.
And I am your host, Anthony Coco. Good evening and good afternoon.
And good morning, wherever you are. And we'd love to give our gratitude to everyone, to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all, and we love all of your support. We've been getting really excellent feedback, and so please feel free to keep them coming. Also, if you have any questions or anything you'd like to hear us share about on the air, maybe something you've encountered or an experience that you'd like to share about that maybe we can discuss on the air, please feel free to email us on that. You can go to the BBS page, Freedom's Flame Radio, and just send an email to me, Eve at enchantedsky144@gmail.com, and we'll answer them on the air. Okay. And thank you to BBS. You are so wonderful. We thank you so much for hosting us. Doug, Don, and Deborah, we love you. And we are so enthused to do this show. It's wonderful, and we have a great, great time doing it. And I'd like to give my gratitude to my mom. She's been really, she's a spunky lady, and I've been spending some time with her this week, and she's making a lot of progress with detaching from the stuff she's accumulated for years, and she's making such great progress on her own path, so I'm really grateful for her, and I'm just grateful to all of life, and I'm also grateful especially to Anthony for being my partner on this show. I think it's wonderful that you're joining me, and I'm going to let you take it from there.
Well, thank you, Eve. Yes, I'd like to thank you for inviting me. And again, I'd also like to thank BBS for hosting us and all our listeners, of course, who have joined us. And I'd like to thank my course group for all the work that they've done and the progress they're making. They are a true inspiration for me. And it's through the work that I do with my course group that has inspired me and encouraged me to do some of the Course in Miracles group work online. So that's what I'm hoping to be sharing with all your wonderful listeners this afternoon.
Thank you. And I'm sure that they all appreciate you too very much. Okay, so we have a really wonderful lineup. We have two really wonderful, beautiful pieces of music that Anthony's done, and they are actually decrees and affirmations to put to music. And hopefully I was able to get them in on time, so we'll be able to hear those today. And I'll just wait for them to let me know if they've got them in, and we can bring in one of the first pieces before I begin. And so our lineup today is we have two amazing showcases. My showcase has to do with it's a personal introduction to the Ascended Master Teachings. And it's also, Saint Germain offers the three stages of freedom, which are actually specifically in alignment with the three keys of victory, which we spoke about last week. So if you were able to tune into last week's show, I talked on the three keys of victory, and you'll see how it all hooks up. And it was really, he's such a clever master. The way he gave this to me, I didn't even see and make the connections until later. And it really actually kind of blew me away. So I hope that you will enjoy that. We have a wonderful showcase from Anthony. It's an introduction to A Course in Miracles. And I can let him tell you about that a little bit later. But this is a really wonderful feature, and he'll be doing this pretty much focusing on A Course in Miracles more thoroughly as we go along. So we also have a nice little meditation, an Ascended Master meditation for you all. So hopefully you will enjoy that, and we have a wonderful show lined up for you.
Would you like me to do the Great Invocation?
That's a beautiful, spontaneous, perfect decision. Thank you so much.
Well, why not? Okay, then. Great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on
love within the heart of God. Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to the world. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. From the might of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to the world. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
Thank you so much for that, Anthony. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
And we're going to go right into the showcase for the Ascended Master Teachings. And this is really an explanation in my own words and in my own experience on how I've been working with them and what I have come to understand about these teachings, and being exposed to also different schools of thought on the Ascended Masters and what I've learned that I've compared and weighed within my own heart. And I feel that there's a lot of value here, and I hope that you will benefit from listening to my experience. And so here we go. So the Ascended Master Teachings, in a nutshell, they have no formal structure to them, and they are specifically tailor-made to the individual being introduced to the path by either the connection with an ascended being or being guided to the books and other materials on the Ascended Master Teachings. There are many, many messengers who have brought through accurate teachings of the Masters, yet the teachings that have primarily come through the messengers of the dispensations of light over the last century, such as the I Am Activity, the Bridge to Freedom, and the Summit Lighthouse, have been dictations, journal notes, decrees, poems, songs, and many other formats of literature, meditations, and processes, which have been organized and published in various manuals, books, and series of books, decree books, pocket-sized booklets, and many other materials to make them available for everyone. The student of light that accepts this path does not require a template, a layout, or a formal structure of the teaching to progress. And although there is no formal structure to the teachings, it is recommended that if one is interested to begin working with Saint Germain or any beloved Ascended Master and the Great Ascended Host, that they begin with Volume 1 of I Am Discourses called Unveiled Mysteries. From there, Volume 2, called The Magic Presence, and Volume 3, simply called The I Am Discourses, and Volume 4, very important, called Ascended Master Instruction. If you absolutely would like a starting point, this is the recommendation. From my personal experience, there is a certain radiation, a momentum of light, that is very strong in these books, not found in other material, and it is very helpful in feeling the Master's presence tangibly through this material. This is why G, Saint Germain, desired for me to stay with this material and not veer off to other books, materials, or teachings. As well, Volume 1 was extremely helpful for me, but I didn't need it to begin my work with Saint Germain or the Masters. I'll share something that happened when I was first guided to Unveiled Mysteries after receiving the guidance to begin the three-step meditation contained in that book. I was in the local spiritual bookshop one evening, and there was a gentleman standing behind, there was a gentleman standing by the series of I Am Discourses, which were located on the back wall of books. As I approached the area, the man greeted me, and I returned the greeting, and I noticed that he just happened to be standing right in front of Unveiled Mysteries. I smiled and spoke softly to him, saying, "Excuse me," as I reached for the book. He moved away and looked at the material I was retrieving from the shelf, and I smiled, saying, "I've been guided to this book." Well, I must have looked my surprise in response to his astonishing comment. "Well," he said sharply, the most serious and abrupt expression, "you were guided to the right book," and turned away with a sneer, it seemed, and went about his business. I waited until he was out of sight, and I placed the book back on the shelf. No one was going to tell me what was right for me to read. Well, a few days passed, and Saint Germain had kept the connection open, and I did too, of course, on my end, and I could feel the divine nudging from him to move forward with the three-step meditation. So, finding it within me to ignore the comment made to me recently about the book, I decided to return to the bookstore and purchase it. I wasn't going to allow someone to get in the way of my connection with Saint Germain, and what I knew I was being called to do on my path. I wanted to progress and learn more, and so I did. But when I went to the bookstore, however, the book was unavailable. And as you may have heard me mention before on the show, I began with Saint Germain's three-step meditation by printing it out from a website at the time. As such, one can simply begin contact with any Ascended Master by simply thinking of them or holding an image of what they look like in your mind's eye and connecting with them through your heart center. Sending love and gratitude to them is an excellent way to begin forging a deeper bond with them. And they will always guide you to the material, books, and teachings that are correct for you. And you don't need anything to start. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a brief meditation to connect with an Ascended Master. I thought you'd really like that today. And this is something that Saint Germain gave to me too. For you to all begin connecting. If you already have someone, an Ascended Master that you feel drawn to, if there's one that you particularly have an affinity for or who you admire, this doesn't have to be the main one. If you're working with one now, it doesn't have to be that one you enjoy working with or even others whom you've connected with before. This could also be a new master whom you may just feel to connect with at this time, and perhaps there's already one at the forefront of your consciousness establishing a connection by demonstrating their desire to connect with you. If that is the case and you are feeling a loving, peaceful, joyful energy, then just be open to this connection. Some may feel this expression intensely, and some may feel it as just a nice, warm, glowing feeling in the heart or in their aura. Or they may feel tingles within them or on their skin, and some may see, hear, or feel their presence almost immediately, and some may experience a sense of expanded awareness, a greater sense of being awake or more fully conscious at this time. So just be open to however it feels correct for you to connect with that master at this time and allow them to make contact with you using whatever method they may use with you. So just take a moment and close your eyes and feel that. Feel into this beloved ascended master. Also take note that archangels are also considered ascended beings. They are ascended masters as well. So if an archangel appears, then they're trying to establish connection with you as well at this time. And all cosmic beings are also ascended masters. At least many of them, to my understanding, are. I don't know if they all are, but there are many cosmic beings who are ascended masters. There are some who actually have not come into embodiment. So any of those beings who come forth at this time, and you may just want to ask for an ascended master who may desire to connect with you to come to you at this time. And anyone whom you're feeling to really connect with, anyone who you're thinking of, or maybe who you've always wanted to connect with, just think of them and think of maybe what they look like. If you don't know what they look like, just close your eyes and call to them from your heart. Send them love. So send them love and gratitude for their beingness, and they should be instantly with you. And I know because I have one with me here. So shall we continue? Now understand also that this master knows who you are and understands your capabilities, so they will use whatever method is most appropriate for you at this time. There is also a chance that if you are developing a new gift, the master may attempt to come through this gift to help you develop it further and bring you greater clarity on it. So expect the unexpected. You'll find that as time goes by, this connection works both ways. You can contact them whenever you wish, and they may also contact you whenever they wish, if they wish to get your attention about something. Yet the desire is always there, and they never ever push themselves upon anyone, nor do they ever impose upon one's life if one does not desire that connection or relationship. They only work with those whom wish to work with them. In this way, like with the Great White Brotherhood, it becomes teamwork. So let's all just take a moment now to do so. And no matter where you are on your path, invite them in to assist you with whatever you are working on right now. You may be surprised to discover that all teachings which contain the truth of the law of the One are Ascended Master-sponsored activities. So call one whom you admire or may have a special affinity for and ask them to be present with you today. From there, you can build that connection that you've established now, if you desire, for the progression of your personal relationship with an Ascended Master is determined by how often you desire to connect with them and how willing you are to receive the instruction that they will impart to you. It is this way because they, already one with God, always desire the connection with you and with us all. It is we who must choose when it feels appropriate to do so and what we are willing to experience based upon how aligned our desires are with our hearts. And that will complete our brief meditation. I hope you all have found a really beautiful connection established with a beautiful ascended being. And if you have a journal by your side, you may want to keep it out and open it up because it's almost a guarantee that you'll receive revelation as you remain open to their wisdom that they will impart for sure. So continuing, many students of the light who step upon this path of Ascended Master teachings have already pioneered their spiritual path. And it's been a blaze-your-own-trail kind of way for them, which many understand is a God-directed path. And they already know the way, yet they have no problem blazing the trail. They can see through the tall grass because they can feel what's there. According to the Ascended Masters, this is true foresight. The seeing, hearing, and knowing is in the feeling. Thus, when a student of light becomes acquainted with these teachings of the Masters or an Ascended Being, a natural process of acceleration begins, whereby an expansion of their awareness becomes acute, and they can receive revelation quite easily just by stilling themselves with focused attention on their heart center. Through the direct guidance of an Ascended Master, the student is consistently being pointed to the actual teaching to add to their application, which assists them to connect with their I Am Presence further and anchor that light within their entire being and world. The student should take heed and write the revelations down in a journal, whether they are gems from the teachings themselves or inspired decrees, affirmations, fiats, etc., from the Master, and begin formulating their own application. It is through this application that the student is delighted to see themselves actually surpassing themselves, and the student takes great joy in continuing this path of what is called progressive revelation with the Master. The goal of the teachings is to provide the student with a curriculum of light that deals with the complexity of God, simplified in layman's terms for the mass consciousness, which leads to full-on Christhood within 3 years, more or less, depending upon one's own pace, which is individual for each one, and is also exactly the correct pace for that student, and ultimately achieve the victory of one's own ascension. And this means to actually be able to ascend and take one's body with them. These are natural progressions on this path if the student takes the teachings to heart and builds a solid foundation of light within themselves, stays consistent in their application of the material, and finally merits the rewards of their own efforts. As such, the application reveals itself to the student. There is no formal layout to be worked with, and this is a path of God-directed teaching through the Great Ascended Host. I have been once such a student, and today, as a messenger of light, I stand firm in my continual application of light, daily and hourly, for I know the feeling of freedom, and I know this is the way and direction my presence has led me to. And this brings me to the forefront of what G and I would like to share with you today. These are the stages of freedom that are aligned with the three keys of victory. And they are the three intentions of alchemy, personal responsibility, and the merits of light. We're going to begin with the merits of light, the third first. And why? Why is this first? Because the merits of light are the cause or the reason for number one and two. So it's really the learning that's first, which goes like this. The merits of light constitute personal responsibility, which leads to the first intention of alchemy. When you have anchored this understanding, you can then align yourself with the first intention of alchemy. Commit to personal responsibility when you have the power, and then the merits of light become your reward. And we're going to go into this so it'll become clearer. You've heard the word dominion before, but do you really know what dominion means? The Ascended Masters and Saint Germain teach that dominion is complete self-control of all the forces within your being and world all the time. This is one such reward that your light merits. From Unveiled Mysteries, page 110, Saint Germain says, "Allow me to suggest that you train yourself never to be surprised, disappointed, or your feelings hurt under any circumstances, for perfect self-control of all the forces within you at all times is dominion, and that is the reward for those who tread the pathway of light. For only by correction of the human self can mastery be attained. Remember always that the right to command, which is dominion, is only permanently retained by those who have first learned to obey, because he who has learned obedience to the law of the one becomes a being of cause only, and that cause, love. You've heard me mention just recently that I had an experience, and I likened it to a file drawer, and I shared a little bit about the psychology of vision and how this lovely being from the psychology of vision, Lenzi Spezzano, she explains this process so eloquently. And in the file drawer experience, I have learned that in my application, using the Ascended Master application that has become my own application, my own formulation to the light, these calls to the presence, they actually alleviate the charges. So one can clear instantly. You can clear your energy fields instantly with these calls to the presence to clear whatever is causing any feeling of upset. This is one of the main teachings that the Ascended Host gives us. For when we are clear, it means we can be at peace. And then the peace allows for us to know the truth. One does not find clarity in the midst of emotional upset or turmoil. In your life, you may have noticed that a clear answer has only come to you when you have calmed down long enough to receive the insight. And that's because it only comes truly from within. The inside comes from within, not without. This is because the mind of God is always pouring out brilliance, and brilliance cannot be sustained within a field of destruction. Thus, brilliance does not come unless one is constructive with their feelings, their attention, and their actions. In this way, brilliance can come forth and be sustained. God's ideas are always eternally pouring through our beings. And if we were to remain peaceful all the time, there would be consistent flow without interruption of these ideas. Now, mind you, these ideas are for each of us individually only, for none of us can handle more than what we each individually receive for our divine plans. We even get our own divine plan ideas only when we are ready for them. And that means integrating peace. So the tool that gets you free of the discord is the one that also helps you get as peaceful as possible in the quickest amount of time. Being eternally at rest in action constitutes the vested power of commanding the presence as the Christ itself in full, complete peace, because this is how God creates, through the God qualities of perfect peace, perfect love, perfect wisdom, and so on. What is perfection, you may ask? Perfection just truly contains no mistakes. That's all perfection is. It contains no mistakes. So whatever has come forth with no mistakes is considered perfect. And perfection does exist in the material plane. Further, when you command as the Christ, you bring yourself into alignment with your presence. For example, if you were to use, in the name I am that I am, I, Christ, demand, command, accept, and I am, that all outer self and outer world activity be still right now, and then use the fiat, peace, be still, and hold the thought form of maybe a peaceful world, and you can use a color, the color peach, around the earth. This is something that I do, and I'm sharing this as one of my personal fiats that I do every day. And if I do that three times, I feel everything, every cell within me, every ounce within me, stilling, all the energy stilling within me. And as I feel that, I actually also feel the energy around me and everything, whether it's around me or outside, I can also hear the stillness. I can feel it and hear it. And that's when I know that I'm integrating and I'm bringing that peace even more greatly through me. So what's happening is you bring your outer self or personality into your true identity as a God life being by commanding that peace to come forth into your own being and world. Because being the demand for everything within you and around you to be still, which compels stillness to come forth, and all sense of irritation and discomforting energy to cease at once, which allows you to experience your natural state of relaxation, which is peace. This also brings the eventual awareness of self-realization if you apply it daily. It may be helpful to note that Christ himself commanded his miracles in peace and love. Moses parted the waters with peace and love. True power comes forth because you are a being of cause, and again, that cause being love. There is no other way to true power than through love, because love is what fulfills the divine plan of life. You can command intensely with love. Have you ever told someone you love dearly that you love them with such intensity, yet with such beautiful peace about you? This is the same energy. Lord Lanto gave this to me the other day, and I'm going to share this with you. The level of light you have merits your level of power, and the level of love backing the will to use that power the right way for the right reasons merits the extent and to the degree of how instantaneously and powerfully your call is answered. I'm going to read that again. The level of light you have merits your level of power, and the level of love backing the will to use that power the right way for the right reasons merits the extent and to the degree of how instantaneously and powerfully your call is answered. So when one has cleared themselves sufficiently, how do you keep the truth in sight when a feeling of something contrary to joy or peace, love, harmony comes in, which interrupts your harmony when it seems personal in that moment? Well, in the first place, it seems personal because you are feeling that it feels like it is just coming at you, which magnetizes the identification of small self. When in truth, it is not really coming at you personally. If you remember that energy is not personal, you're just sensitive enough to feel it. It can be in the atmosphere. It can be in someone's energy field. It can be coming through an ungoverned door. And this, however, is a level that I am speaking on, which illustrates one who has cleared their, quote, their file drawers. However, it is possible to create new file drawers if one is not mindful. And in the second place, the seam is like a cut into the consciousness, which creates time, which is contrary to the qualities of God, which are eternal, because the qualities of God are already perfect. I'm going to read that again. In the second place, the seam is like a cut into the consciousness, which creates time, which is contrary to the qualities of God, which are eternal, because the qualities of God are already perfect. Time only exists, or the concept of it, because human consciousness fell into the perception of something outside of God that was there or existed. This created the thought of other than God. When that thought occurred, duality was created with that thought. Mankind has been trying to solve this problem for millennia to no avail. We keep resolving the same thing, only to find that God life is real. Like the hands on a clock of time, we keep revolving the story in a continuous loop, only to come to the same resolution. only God is real, yet all energy is God. So how does one set one's self free from the energy of God that has been misused and no longer has the value of the original God qualities that contain perfection, but instead have the qualities that are contrary to that which is love? Here we enter personal responsibility. It is the sacred duty of every self-realized and awakened soul to protect and honor the truth and all its associated qualities and values. Only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will give mankind salvation and set him free from falsehood, tyranny, and the enslavement of his own mind and those who use these for their own means. This quote comes from our very own Anthony Coco. Thank you so much. Time needs to be unwound so we can unwound the seam that was the cut into the consciousness, which made it seemingly split. This was only the mind that did this. Nothing actually split into two levels of consciousness, one being apart or separate from the other. This can be likened to a seam on an article of clothing. The seam is just thread that created a pattern which made the original fabric appear to be divided into sections. Yet, if you take the threads out, you have a whole fabric again. To recognize this is to become or be the coming of wholeness. Because the seeming other has now been acknowledged as part of the whole, and the pattern is gone because we've just simply removed the threads that created the appearance of separation. Why do we remind ourselves? One, to remember that the truth will set us free from the illusion or the story. Or two, to keep playing the story or program of duality or separation. We are individualized, yet not dual, because there is no other. There is only one, and God is neither a competition, nor is God in competition. If we remind ourselves with the mind of God, then we receive that which is worthy to be made whole and created perfect. If, however, we reinsert the story in the mind, then all we do is feed the program that's false, or the non-mind of God, or artificial intelligence. And it continues to siphon the light, our light. Here are some tools that G has actually given me to share to help you remember yourself, capital S. Number one, close that storybook because it doesn't feel good. When you close that storybook, put a lock on it. The bookmark in the story is the cord. The streamer that can be likened from the maypole that got caught in the story. It's not real unless you pay attention to it. You give it life with your attention. Do not give it your attention. Close the book and lock it. Realize yourself, capital S. It is the one life in many forms. It is the same life in you that is in me, that is in everyone. This merits true harmony in your being and world. We can liken these stages of freedom to the three keys of victory. The first intention of alchemy is to have a sincere heart. Personal responsibility constitutes consistency and application. And the merits of light favor uninterrupted harmony. Now, coming to the first intention of alchemy, know your heart is the altar of God, I am. And this is your sincere heart. intend everything you think, say, do, come from the sacred altar of God, your heart. This is the temple of your being, the threefold flame in the sacred chamber of the heart. Additionally, that everything you ask for to manifest be done so in love, oneness with God. In the moment you begin with, let there be light. Personal responsibility. Again, it is the sacred duty of every self-realized and awakened soul to protect and honor the truth and all its associated qualities and values. Only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will give mankind salvation and free him from falsehood, tyranny, and the enslavement of his own mind, and those who use these for their own means. Now we come to the second intention of alchemy, which is that quote constitutes that you intend for the service being performed, your service, be in 100% service to the light, the truth of God I am, for the purpose of creating more light, for the goodness and beauty and love of earth and all life on the planet, and that it serves the whole of creation. And then say, not my will, but thine only. And this is a note for anyone who has ever felt this, because I have felt this in my own experience, and this is what the masters have given me as a revelation to this question. So, a note from the masters on time. There is never any specified amount of time given notice when an opportunity for service is brought to you. Service, if one is in the present moment and not in duality consciousness, is just what it is, and it takes as long as it takes. True service cannot be measured, but should always be gauged, however, by the feeling of authenticity within one's being. For one will know if their service is a complete, fulfilling service, or if they are shortchanging themselves with a shortcut to that fulfillment, which only makes one think that they have done the work, but it will be evident in their feeling body that it was not a full effort. There is no hiding from this. For example, the angels don't say, oh, I'm late for the gathering today, and leave the being who they are helping to suffer so they can attend their meeting. The work is the work, and it's not done until it's done. And true service means commitment to that work, no matter how long it is perceived that it takes. You never hear an angel, an ascended master, or any cosmic being complaining about the time it takes to do something. They have one concern only, the pure activity of God and furthering that activity. For life to live as it is intended, with love, peace, joy, and bliss. And the activity of God can expand more as each of us step up to do that work and fulfill the missions we came here to fulfill. That is our portion of the great divine plan. From a oneness perspective, this is personal responsibility to self, capital S. As you know yourself as God, then your personal responsibility becomes one with all life, which is interdependent, as giving and receiving to your whole self, capital S, in which you are an integral part. As such, life could not be completely fulfilled without your full participation. You are a part of life and a part of God. You are life and you are God. You are that God-life being individualized within many forms, and your own form is just as much God's temple as the rest of the forms that host the Holy Spirit. And so, when we align with our presence, the true service in the presence becomes a joy, and it is effortless. We are up to the third intention of alchemy. The merits of light favor uninterrupted harmony. For uninterrupted harmony, intend to qualify all your activities with love. Ask the presence to help you with this. The presence will guide you how to bring love through your heart flame to qualify any activity to a constructive use of the light energy. The qualities of love and wisdom combined with divine will create a current of true power when the heart is streaming the vibration of oneness with God. Everything is instantly qualified. The joy of creating in service to the Creator and in loving oneness with Creator is thus anchored in the heart, and the Creator and you are one in the same, creating in service to the divine plan. This true joy is constant and is also known as uninterrupted harmony. The merits of light, the rewards of being free. And we have come full circle back to dominion, which is complete self-control of all the forces within your being and world all the time. And again, Saint Germain's excerpt from Unveiled Mysteries on page 110. Allow me to suggest that you train yourself never to be surprised, disappointed, or your feelings hurt under any circumstances, for perfect self-control of all the forces within you at all times is dominion, and that is the reward for those who tread the pathway of light, for only by correction of the human self can mastery be attained. Remember always that the right to command, which is dominion, is only permanently retained by those who have first learned to obey, because he who has learned obedience to the law of the One becomes a being of cause only, and that cause, love. When you train yourself to think, say, share, feel, do, and impart everything in your life with love, you not only embody that love, but you become that love, and that love is eternal. Being truly free means eternal life. And that will close my showcase for the show. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope that you're all feeling inspired. If you are, feel free to call in. And I think the number is 888-627-6008. Did I get that right? Okay, great. So that's 888-627-6008. So now, well, we don't have our music, but that's okay. Maybe this is inspired conversation. We can bring the harmony through that we're feeling now as we're inspired from that. I really enjoyed sharing that, and I feel like Saint Germain is—he's just so clever. He's always clever. And one of my favorite experiences with him is that, or one of my favorite tools, I should say, is that when I'm really close to a situation, when I want an answer on something, I say to him, you know, first I call to the presence. You always call to the presence first before you call to an ascended master or any being. This is something that Mother Mary actually teaches a while ago that came through. And I've been doing it ever since. And I have noticed the difference. So you say, Beloved Marie, I am presence. And then Beloved Saint Germain, please show me, please share with me. And then I ask him, to please reveal to me the truth about the situation that I'm inquiring about or whatever it is. And then I say, and give it to me in such a clever way that you do that I won't be expecting the answer or what I want it to be. Like my mind won't get in the way of it. And I'll just say, then when you give me that answer in your clever way, make the feeling so strong within me that I cannot deny it. And that really helps to bring it through. And for me to feel it and for me to get the clarity on something without me being attached to the answer. So I thought that was really neat. I just wanted to share that. Anthony, are you still with us?
I am indeed. Yeah, I just enjoyed listening to the whole thing. It's been wonderful just listening. I'm just so chilled out listening to you, and I'm thinking I feel so inspired. I was just thinking there is so much of that which actually kind of resonates with the ideas of A Course in Miracles, and I'm thinking, how on earth can I follow that? And I'm just so much in the flow of what you, the energy and what you were just saying, that, yeah, I'm just so relaxed about it now.
Well, that's exactly where, that's your natural state then. Thank you for sharing that, because I feel this way too. Anytime I work with the teachings, when I work with the masters, when I work with the angels, when I work with any of this, you know, it's like I don't consider it work, because it doesn't feel like I'm doing work. It's effortless to commune with them. It's effortless to do an application. You know, and actually, you know, you have these pages, you know, and I've developed a complete binder full of all these, you know, custom tailored calls and fiats and decrees and affirmations. I've developed a whole binder that, you know, it's taken me 3 years to accumulate and really put a masterful application together with the help of Saint Germain. So in doing this, though, you know, you're working with the light. And that's the thing about it. You're doing this work. It's and how they want me to shift the word work, they want me to shift it to the word activity. So the activity that you're engaging with, it's bringing in the light. And the more light that you bring in, the more relaxed you feel, the more at peace you feel. And you don't feel the tired or the stress or the tension or anything, because there is none of that there in the light. None of that exists in the light. So... And it's actually the things that pull us out of our natural flow that bring that tension into us, because it's, we know somewhere intrinsically within our beings that we're not supposed to be doing that. And, but we go to these other activities because, well, we're still working with, you know, what we call, you know, maybe mundane activities like doing chores, washing dishes and stuff. These things still need to be done. But the thing about it is, what happens is that as you do the application and you invoke light every morning, you just make calls throughout the day, you stay in communion with your presence, you keep yourself mindful of the truth, then these chores, they don't feel like chores anymore. It's just a natural kind of progression. Okay, now I move over to do this because this is going to be done. And it be actually, you know, I'm just standing there. It's, you know, it's part of the personal responsibility too, not just to do your application and invoke light, but to also uphold, you know, integrity to, you know, the things that are around you that are yours, to care for them, to care for the things in your life. And that's just, you know, a natural part of our life as we progress on the path. Eventually these things are going to become kind of obsolete, I think, because we're working with more and more higher frequencies of light, and there's not so much a need for a lot of the dense material as much as we used to think, I think. This is just my own experience. A lot of things that seem like chores, they're starting to just become kind of really effortless, and I just flow into one activity from the next. And I don't feel any pressure on me to get things done as much anymore. And I feel like I feel like time is kind of like my friend now. It's becoming more my friend, because when I look at the clock, I go, oh, you know, I don't really think about it, because I'm becoming more mindful as to what the true reality is. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the clock doesn't really mean anything. It's fine. Just go forward and, you know, like take your mind right off of something that might try to distract you and try to think, oh, let me try to figure this out and, you know, fit everything into the next hour so that I could do this after that hour. And like, we don't have to do that anymore. It's like, if we just drop that thinking and just go, okay, beloved Maya Presence, show me what's next, you know, lead me to the next correct activity or what is appropriate. And you'll always feel it. I mean, but you have to kind of empty out. You have to, you know, clear my energy fields, Archangel Michael, clear my etheric cords, you know, just clear everything out of the fields, and then tune in and you'll get your response and you'll know what really is in alignment. And sometimes I go back and forth with a couple things just to see which one has the strongest energy, which one is, you know, which is the full body yes that's right in front of you. It's like, yes, that's it. That's where the energy is. And that's that tells you, you know, instantaneous joy, that's divine alignment. So I'm gonna stop there, because I'd really like to for you to come forth and bring your showcase forth now. I'm really looking forward to that. And I know it's going to be fantastic and powerful. So I'm looking forward to relaxing and listening to you now.
Well, I was just thinking that you've already covered a lot of my material.
Oh, no.
Such a wonderful way. It's like as if I have to bring everything down now, because the course deals with other the same issues, but in a slightly different way, and it is kind of a progressive thing. So if you want me to go straight into this now, I will do. Okay, I would like to do something in the lines of the Course in Miracles, but I do wish to state that I am a student of A Course in Miracles, and whatever I share comes from my own understanding of it. I'm choosing to share the Course in Miracles because it does say in the Course that it's the best way to learn it, and an idea shared grows. It also says that the material in the book is only 1% of the learning, and 99% is putting it into practice. And I think you were alluding to that when you were talking about your practice, that you know, you can learn the material, you can have the inspiration, but at the end of the day, it is about putting it into practice on a daily basis in your life. And the Course in Miracles, in that sense, is no difference. But I would like to just start briefly to say how the Course came. I'm not going to spend too long on that, because I do want to get into the meaning of miracles and the first chapter, and then just talk a little bit about one of the workbook lessons, which I find is particularly appropriate. So how it came. A Course in Miracles began with a sudden decision of two people to join in a common goal. Their names were Helen Schuckman and William Thetford. They were professors of medical psychology at Columbia University's College of Physicians and Surgeons in New York. And it does not matter who they were, except that the story shows that with God, all things are possible. They were anything but spiritual. Their relationship with each other was difficult and often strained, and they were concerned with personal and professional acceptance and status. In general, they had considerable investment in the values of the world. Their lives were hardly in accord with anything that the Course advocates. Now, the Course began in the early 1970s, and the preface finally came out in 1977. So although their intention was serious, they had great difficulty in starting out on their joint venture, but they had given the Holy Spirit the little willingness that, as the Course itself was to emphasize again and again, is sufficient to enable him to use any situation for his purposes and provide it with his power. I won't go too much on what the whole Course, except that it was basically Helen and Bill, they worked together. She received the teachings and she scribed them out in shorthand, and Bill would then dictations. And it basically took them over 7 years. And she realized that it was some sort of assignment that she had received. And the work with it together over 7 years, and it's in three basic parts. There is the text, there is the workbook and lessons for students, and then there is the book for teachers. But what it is, as it implies, the Course is arranged throughout as a teaching device. It consists of three books, 669 page text and a 488 page workbook for students, and a 92 page manual for teachers. And the order in which students choose to use the books and the ways in which they study them depend on their particular needs and preferences. Okay, but what it says, Now, this is what the whole of the course rests upon. It says that nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. This is how A Course in Miracles begins. It makes a fundamental distinction between the real and the unreal, between knowledge and perception. Knowledge is truth under one law, the law of love or God. Truth is unalterable, eternal, and unambiguous. It can be unrecognized, but it cannot be changed. It applies to everything that God created, and only what He created is real. It is beyond learning because it is beyond time and process. It has no opposite, no beginning, and no end. It merely is. The world of perception, on the other hand, is the world of time, of change, of beginnings and endings. It is based on interpretation, not facts. It is the world of birth and death, founded on the belief in scarcity, loss, separation, and death. It is learned rather than given, selective in its perceptual emphasis, unstable in its functioning, and inaccurate in its interpretations. From knowledge and perception respectively, two distinct thought systems arise which are opposite in every respect. In the realm of knowledge, no thoughts exist apart from God, because God and His creation share one will. The world of perception, however, is made by the belief in opposites and separate wills, in perpetual conflict with each other and with God. What perception sees and hears appears to be real because it permits into awareness only what conforms to the wishes of the perceiver. This leads to a world of illusions, a world which needs constant defense precisely because it is not real. When you have been caught in the world of perception, you are caught in a dream. You cannot escape without help, because everything your senses show merely witnesses to the reality of the dream. God has provided the answer, the only way out, the true helper. It is the function of His voice, His Holy Spirit, to mediate between the two worlds. He can do this because while on the one hand He knows the truth, on the other He also recognizes our illusions, but without believing in them. It is the Holy Spirit's goal to help us escape from the dream world by teaching us how to reverse our thinking and unlearn our mistakes. Forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's great learning aid in bringing this thought reversal about. However, the Course has its own definition of what forgiveness really is, just as it defines the world in its own way. The world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference, the dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions in our minds. Projection makes perception. That is in the text explained on page 445. We look inside first, decide the kind of world we want to see, and then project that world outside, making it the truth as we see it. We make it true by our interpretations of what it is we are seeing. If we are using perception to justify our own mistakes, our anger, our impulses to attack, our lack of love, in whatever form it may take, we will see a world of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. All this we must learn to forgive, not because we are being good and charitable, but because what we are seeing is not true. We have distorted the world by our twisted defenses and are therefore seeing what is not there. As we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, we also learn to look past them or forgive. At the same time, we are forgiving ourselves, looking past our distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in us, and that's the self with a capital S, and as us. Sin is defined as lack of love. And this is in the textbook, page 11, fuller explanation. Since love is all there is, sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit is a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes from the strong investment in the scarcity principle that governs the whole world of illusions. From that point of view, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. We love another in order to get something ourselves. That, in fact, is what passes for love in the dream world. There can be no greater mistake than that, for love is incapable of asking for anything. Only minds can really join, and whom God has joined, no man can put asunder. It is, however, only at the level of Christ mind that true union is possible, and has, in fact, never been lost. The little I seeks to enhance itself by external approval, external possessions, and external love. The self, with a capital S, that God created, needs nothing. It is forever complete, safe, loved, and loving. It seeks to share rather than to get, to extend rather than project. It has no needs and wants to join with others out of their mutual awareness of abundance. The special relationships of the world are destructive, selfish, and childishly egocentric. Yet, if given to the Holy Spirit, these relationships can become the holiest things on earth, the miracles that point the way to the return to heaven. The world uses its special relationships as a final weapon of exclusion and a demonstration of separateness. The Holy Spirit transforms them into perfect lessons in forgiveness and in awakening from the dream. Each one is an opportunity to let perceptions be healed and errors corrected. Each one is another chance to forgive oneself by forgiving the other. And each one becomes still another invitation to the Holy Spirit and to the remembrance of God. Perception is a function of the body and therefore represents a limit on awareness. Perception sees through the body's eyes and hears through the body's ears. It evokes the limited responses which the body makes. The body appears to be largely self-motivated and independent, yet it actually responds only to the intentions of the mind. If the mind wants to use it for attack in any form, it becomes prey to sickness, age, and decay. If the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for it instead, it becomes a useful way of communicating with others, invulnerable as long as it is needed, and to be gently laid by when its use is over. Of itself, it is neutral, as is everything in the world of perception. Whether it is used for the goals of the ego or the Holy Spirit depends entirely on what the mind wants. The opposite of seeing through the body's eyes is the vision of Christ, which reflects strength rather than weakness, unity rather than separation, and love rather than fear. The opposite of hearing through the body's ears is communication through the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, which abides in each of us. His voice seems distant and difficult to hear, because the ego, which speaks for the little separated self, seems to be much louder. This is actually reversed. The Holy Spirit speaks with unmistakable clarity and overwhelming appeal. No one who does not choose to identify with the body could possibly be deaf to his messages of release and hope, nor could he fail to accept joyously the vision of Christ in glad exchange for his miserable picture of himself. Christ's vision is the Holy Spirit's gift, God's alternative to the illusion of separation and to the belief in the reality of sin, guilt, and death. It is the one correction for all errors of perception. The reconciliation of the seeming opposites on which this world is based. Its kindly light shows all things from another point of view, reflecting the thought system that arises from knowledge and making return to God not only possible but inevitable. What was regarded as injustices done to one by someone else now becomes a call for help and for union. Sin, sickness, and attack are seen as misperceptions calling for remedy through gentleness and love. Defenses are laid down because where there is no attack, there is no need for them. Our brother's needs become our own because they are taking the journey with us as we go to God. Without us, they would lose their way. Without them, we could never find our own. Forgiveness is unknown in heaven, where the need for it would be inconceivable. However, in this world, forgiveness is a necessary correction for all the mistakes that we have made. To offer forgiveness is the only way for us to have it, for it reflects the law of heaven that giving and receiving are the same. Heaven is the natural state of all of the sons of God as he created them. Such is their reality forever. It has not changed because it has been forgotten. Forgiveness is the means by which we will remember. Through forgiveness, the thinking of the world is reversed. The forgiven world becomes the gate of heaven because by its mercy we can at last forgive ourselves. Holding no one prisoner to guilt, we become free. Acknowledging Christ in all our brothers, we recognize his presence in ourselves. Forgetting all our misperceptions and with nothing from the past to hold us back, we can remember God. Beyond this, learning cannot go. When we are ready, God himself will take the final step in our return to him. And that's the preface. If you'd like, now I can go start on the introduction in the Course in Miracles, or do you have anything you would like to comment, Eve?
Well, now it's my turn to sit back and relax and absorb this amazing radiation that's coming through you.
Okay.
And I have a full page of notes already, so you might as well continue.
Okay, then.
Yeah, well, so much is, it's perfectly flowing, and a lot of revelation has come forth for me, and I'd like to share it with you maybe when you're through.
Okay, well, this is the introduction.
Okay.
The introduction in A Course in Miracles says, this is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing real exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Chapter 1, The Meaning of Miracles. Principles of Miracles. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal. Miracles as such do not matter. The only thing that matters is their source, which is far beyond evaluation. Miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. All miracles mean life, and God is the giver of life. His voice will direct you very specifically. You will be told all you need to know. Miracles are habits and should be involuntary. They should not be under conscious control. Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. Miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Miracles are healing because they supply a lack. They are performed by those who temporarily have more for those who temporarily have less. Miracles are a kind of exchange. Like all expressions of love, which are always miraculous in the true sense, the exchange reverses the physical laws. They bring more love both to the giver and the receiver. The use of miracles as a spectacle to induce belief is a misunderstanding of their purpose. Prayer is the medium of miracles. It is a means of communication of the created with the Creator. Through prayer, love is received, and through miracles, love is expressed. Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual. Miracles are both beginnings and endings, and so they alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seem to go back but really go forward. They undo the past in the present and thus release the future. Miracles bear witness to truth. They are convincing because they arise from conviction. Without conviction, they deteriorate into magic, which is mindless and therefore destructive, or rather the uncreative use of mind. Each day should be devoted to miracles. The purpose of time is to enable you to learn how to use time constructively. It is thus a teaching device and a means to an end. Time will cease when it is no longer useful in facilitating learning. Miracles are teaching devices for demonstrating it is as blessed to give as to receive. They simultaneously increase the strength of the giver and supply strength to the receiver. Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That is why they heal. A miracle is a service. It is the maximal service you can render to another. It is a way of loving your neighbor as yourself. You recognize your own and your neighbor's worth simultaneously. Miracles make minds one in God. They depend on cooperation because the sonship is the sum of all that God created. Miracles, therefore, reflect the laws of eternity, not time. Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle. Miracles are natural signs of forgiveness. Through miracles, you accept God's forgiveness by extending it to others. Miracles are associated with fear only because of the belief that darkness can hide. You believe that what your physical eyes cannot see does not exist. This leads to a denial of spiritual sight. Miracles rearrange perception and place all levels in true perspective. This is healing because sickness comes from confusing the levels. Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle, capable of creating in the likeness of your Creator. Everything else is your own nightmare and death and does not exist. Only the creations of light are real. Miracles are part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness, which, when completed, is the atonement or at-one-ment. Atonement works all the time and in all the dimensions of time. Miracles represent freedom from fear. Atoning means undoing. The undoing of fear is an essential part of the atonement value of miracles. A miracle is a universal blessing from God through me, that is the Christ or the Holy Spirit, to all my brothers. It is the privilege of the forgiven to forgive. Miracles are a way of earning release from fear. Revelation induces a state in which fear has already been abolished. Miracles are thus a means and revelation is an end. Miracles praise God through you. They praise Him by honoring His creations, affirming their perfection. They heal because they deny body identification and affirm spirit identification. By recognizing spirit, miracles adjust the levels of perception and show them in proper alignment. This places spirit at the center where it can communicate directly. Miracles should inspire gratitude, not awe. You should thank God for what you really are. The children of God are holy, and the miracle honors their holiness, which can be hidden but never lost. I inspire all miracles which are really intercessions. They intercede for your holiness and make your perceptions holy. By placing you beyond the physical laws, they raise you into the sphere of celestial order. In this order, you are perfect. Miracles honor you because you are lovable. They dispel illusions about yourself and perceive the light in you. They thus atone for your errors by freeing you from your nightmares. By releasing your mind from the imprisonment of your illusions, they restore your sanity. Miracles restore the mind to its fullness. By atoning for lack, they establish perfect protection. The spirit's strength leaves no room for intrusions. Miracles are expressions of love, but they may not always have observable effects. Miracles are examples of right thinking, aligning your perceptions with truth as God created it. A miracle is a correction introduced into false thinking by me, and that being Jesus the Christ. It acts as a catalyst, breaking up erroneous perception and reorganizing it properly. This places you under the atonement principle, where perception is healed. Until this has occurred, knowledge of the divine order is impossible. The Holy Spirit is the mechanism of miracles. He recognizes both God's creations and your illusions. He separates the true from the false by his ability to perceive totally rather than selectively. The miracle dissolves error because the Holy Spirit identifies error as false or unreal. This is the same as saying that by perceiving light, darkness automatically disappears. The miracle acknowledges everyone as your brother and mine. It is a way of perceiving the universal mark of God. Wholeness is the perceptual content of miracles. They thus correct or atone for the faulty perception of lack. A major contribution of miracles is their strength in releasing you from your false sense of isolation, deprivation, and lack. Miracles arise from a miraculous state of mind, or a state of miracle readiness. The miracle is an expression of an inner awareness of Christ and the acceptance of his atonement, or at-one-ment. A miracle is never lost. It may touch many people you have not even met and produce undreamed of changes in situations of which you are not even aware. The Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium. Miracles do not involve this type of communication because they are temporary communication devices. When you return to your original form of communication with God by direct revelation, the need for miracles is over. The miracle is a learning device that lessens the need for time. It establishes an out-of-pattern time interval not under the usual laws of time. In this sense, it is timeless. The miracle is the only device at your immediate disposal for controlling time. Only revelation transcends it, having nothing to do with time at all. The miracle makes no distinction among degrees of misperception. It is a device for perception correction, effective quite apart from either the degree or the direction of the error. This is its true indiscriminateness. The miracle compares what you have made with creation, accepting what is in accord with it as true and rejecting what is out of accord as false. Revelation, time, and miracles. Revelation induces complete but temporary suspension of doubt and fear. It reflects the original form of communication between God and his creations, involving the extremely personal sense of creation sometimes sought in physical relationships. Physical closeness cannot achieve it. Miracles, however, are genuinely interpersonal and result in true closeness to others. Revelation unites you directly with God. Miracles unite you directly with your brother. Neither emanates from consciousness, but both are experienced there. Consciousness is the state that induces action, though it does not inspire it. You are free to believe what you choose, and what you do attests to what you believe. Revelation is intensely personal and cannot be meaningfully translated. That is why any attempt to describe it in words is impossible. Revelation induces only experience. Miracles, on the other hand, induce action. They are more useful now because of their interpersonal nature. In this phase of learning, working miracles is important because freedom from fear cannot be thrust upon you. Revelation is literally unspeakable because it is an experience of unspeakable love. Awe should be reserved for revelation, to which it is perfectly and correctly applicable. It is not appropriate for miracles It is not appropriate for miracles because a state of awe is worshipful, implying that one of a lesser order stands before his creator. You are a perfect creation and should experience awe only in the presence of the creator of perfection. The miracle is therefore a sign of love among equals. Equals should not be in awe of one another because awe implies inequality. It is therefore an appropriate reaction to me. An elder brother is entitled to respect for his greater experience and obedience for his greater wisdom. He is also entitled to love because he is a brother, and to devotion if he is devoted. It is only my devotion that entitles me to yours. There is nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God. The difference between us now is that I have nothing else. This leaves me in a state which is only potential in you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me does not mean that I am in any way separate or different from you except in time. And time does not really exist. The statement is more meaningful in terms of a vertical rather than a horizontal axis. You stand below me, and I stand below God. In the process of rising up, I am higher because without me, the distance between God and man would be too great for you to encompass. I bridge the distance as an elder brother to you on the one hand and as a son of God on the other. My devotion to my brothers has placed me in charge of the sonship, which I render complete because I share it. This may appear to contradict the statement, I and my Father are one, but there are two parts to the statement in recognition that the Father is the greater. Revelations are indirectly inspired by me because I am close to the Holy Spirit and alert to the revelation readiness of my brothers. I can thus bring down to them more than they can draw down to themselves. The Holy Spirit mediates higher to lower communication, keeping the direct channel from God to you open for revelation. Revelation is not reciprocal. It proceeds from God to you, but not from you to God. The miracle minimizes the need for time. In the longitudinal or horizontal plane, the recognition of the equality of the members of the sonship appears to involve almost endless time. However, the miracle entails a sudden shift from horizontal to vertical perception. This introduces an interval from which the giver and receiver both emerge farther along in time than they would otherwise have been. The miracle thus has the unique property of abolishing time to the extent that it renders the interval of time it spans unnecessary. There is no relationship between the time a miracle takes and the time it covers. The miracle substitutes for learning that might have taken thousands of years. It does so by the underlying recognition of perfect equality of giver and receiver on which the miracle rests. The miracle shortens time by collapsing it, thus eliminating certain intervals within it. It does this, however, within the larger temporal sequence. Atonement and Miracles. I am in charge of the process of atonement which I undertook to begin. When you offer a miracle to any of my brothers, you do it to yourself and me. The reason you come before me is that I do not need miracles for my own atonement, but I stand at the end in case you fail temporarily. My part in the atonement is the cancellation, is the cancelling out of all errors that you could not otherwise correct. Well, I'm just going to stop there for now because I want to go into workbook and read lesson 100. And lesson 100, it says that my part is essential to God's plan for salvation. My part is essential to God's plan for salvation. Just as God's Son completes his Father, so your part in it completes your Father's plan. Salvation must reverse the mad belief in separate thoughts and separate bodies, which lead separate lives and go their separate ways. One function shared by separate minds unites them in one purpose, for each one of them is equally essential to them all. God's will for you is perfect happiness. Why should you choose to go against his will? The path that he has saved for you to take in working out his plan is given you that you might be restored to what he wills. This part is as essential to his plan as to your happiness. Your joy must be complete to let his plan be understood by those to whom he sends to you. They will see their function in your shining face and hear God calling to them in your happy laugh. You are indeed essential to God's plan. Without your joy, his joy is incomplete. Without your smile, the world cannot be saved. While you are sad, the light that God himself appointed as the means to save the world is dim and lusterless. And no one laughs because all laughter can but echo yours. You are indeed essential to God's plan. Just as your light increases every light that shines in heaven, so your joy on earth calls to all minds to let their sorrows go and take their place beside you in God's plan. God's messengers are joyous, and their joy heals sorrow and despair. They are the proof that God wills perfect happiness for all who will accept their Father's gifts and theirs. We will not let ourselves be sad today, for if we do, we fail to take the part that is essential to God's plan, as well as to our vision. Sadness is the sign that you would play another part, instead of what has been assigned to you by God. Thus, do you fail to show the world how great the happiness he wills for you? And so you do not recognize that it is yours. Today we will attempt to understand joy is our function here. If you are sad, your part is unfulfilled, and all the world is thus deprived of joy along with you. God asks you to be happy, so the world can see how much he loves his Son and wills no sorrow rises to abate his joy. No fear besets him to disturb his peace. You are God's messenger today. You bring his happiness to all you look upon, his peace to everyone who looks on you and sees his message in your happy face. We will prepare ourselves for this today in our 5-minute practice periods by feeling happiness arise in us according to our Father's will and ours. Begin the exercises with the thought today's idea contains. Then realize your part is to be happy. Only this is asked of you or anyone who wants to take his place among God's messengers. Think what this means. You have indeed been wrong in your belief that sacrifice is asked. You but receive according to God's plan and never lose or sacrifice or die. Now let us try to find that joy that proves to us and all the world God's will for us. It is your function that you find it here, and that you find it now. For this you came. Let this one be the day that you succeed. Look deep within you, undismayed by all the little thoughts and foolish goals you pass as you ascend to meet the Christ in you. He will be there, and you can reach him now. What could you rather look upon in place of him who waits that you may look up on him? What little thought has power to hold you back? What foolish goal can keep you from success when he who calls to you is God himself? He will be there. You are essential to his plan. You are his messenger today, and you must find what he would have you give. Do not forget the idea for today between your hourly practice periods. It is yourself who calls to you today, and it is him you answer. Every time you tell yourself you are essential to God's plan for the salvation of the world. And there endeth the lesson for today. I hope that's been of help to those who have been listening. At least for those who resonate with this type of material, I hope this is helpful to you and anyone else who finds it interesting.
Well, I found it extremely revealing.
Mm.
And very insightful. And like I said, I have a page and a half now of Revelations written down. And I have a couple of other things. There's something I'd really like to share, which was this is really important for me personally. Of course, I can only share from my experience anyway. But you shared something about without your smile, the world cannot be saved.
Yeah.
Now, this is really significant for me, really, really significant, because I have noticed, I experience my true state as joy, that natural flow, pretty regularly on a consistent basis. Sometimes there are things that, for whatever reason, I'm feeling something and I'm kind of not completely in that joy. I kind of feel like a sense of obligation to doing things, and I'm doing errands, and I feel myself really not smiling. Sometimes I look around, and I like to connect with others. I like to make eye contact, and I like to smile at others and just share that connection, that oneness. And if I'm not feeling it, like, I notice nobody else is smiling. And I'm going, what's going on? How did something happen today? What's everybody so glum about? And I have to recognize that I remember, oh, that's right. I have to be the one to bring it forth first. And when I, realign myself with that truth and go, okay, I'm going to smile, even if I'm not feeling it 100%, I'm just going to share that. And as soon as I do, all of a sudden others, they start responding to my smile, and it's really interesting. So I'm really grateful to hear that, because that was a great reaffirmation for me.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, if I don't feel like being happy or smiley or whatever, I look at it as an opportunity to heal something within me, which is within my unconscious mind, which is, you know, not part of the truth, but it feels true. It seems to be true. So for me, one way I look at it, I prefer to sort of, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I reinterpret it as an opportunity for healing or for undoing the error, or for letting something go, or for some level of forgiveness. Because underneath that, then, you know, the Course in Miracles says that there is a gift. There is the gift of your true self. And then the more of your true self that you express, the more joy that you naturally radiate into the world. So for me, it's just a slightly different interpretation. For me, it's an opportunity to heal or to release or to reinterpret what I'm experiencing as part of the unreality. And sometimes it can be quite challenging. But I know that the joy for me is in doing the work. And when I do come out of those periods when I'm not feeling that, then the joy suddenly, you know, increases and expands. And I think it relates to what you were saying earlier about progressive revelation as well. You know, the joy and the love only expands, but it expands as we let go of what is holding us back.
Precisely.
And real, yeah. So this is how the work really is, just another form of saying pretty much the same thing. It may just appeal to, you know, different types of personalities. For me, I like working with the mind, you know, so I resonate with the Course in Miracles and the psychology of vision. So, and for you, you work more with the joy and the light and the love and working with the masters.
And, well, that's true. I also really enjoyed listening to The Course in Miracles. I've never actually experienced the readings, the lessons, you know, the material before. And hearing you, listening to you share that today really, it's like a whole another level of multidimensional awareness opened up. And I went, oh, that's where I am there, and that's... Oh, wow. I mean, there were a whole bunch of things that just came in and started connecting.
Yeah.
And, wow.
There's always something to learn. I'm learning from you, but you're learning from the Course.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really fantastic. We have an opportunity to go a little bit longer today if you would like to, although we've had a beautiful... 2-hour show today, but I've just been alerted that there we have some extra time today if you'd like to continue with some conversation and do Q&A. I don't know how you feel about that. We can end in a few minutes. I'm just going to let it be.
How long have we got?
We have another hour.
Another hour.
So now we have time to actually... discuss all the revelation that's come forth through these things, and I'm going to let you navigate it. I'm open to it, but we'll have to take at least a 5-minute intermission pause here. We could play one of your songs. We have Diamond Fire Points of Light if you'd like to do that.
Yeah. What about those new ones? Has Doug managed to find them yet?
He has them. I have to go back in and do permissions or something with the files.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, he's giving me the affirmation on that. And we can talk about that. Maybe you can send one in to him on the break, and we can try to get one of those loaded, because they really are beautiful pieces. I'd love for our listeners to hear them. And there's so many who love your music, and I know that these aren't, quote, songs, but they're beautiful affirmations and decrees and...
Invocations.
A splendid job as always, and they're perfect. You know, perfection contains no mistakes, so I don't hear mistakes in your composition, and I think they're perfect, and I'd love to hear them. So maybe we can figure that out.
Okay.
Take it from there. Okay, so are we going to do this? Another hour?
Another hour. Well, let's just see how it goes, and you know, we'll start the discussions, and maybe, you know, whatever comes up, whatever okay. thoughts and questions, and we'll go from there.
And we can also open up the phone lines. The number is 888-627-6008. That's toll-free U.S. and Canada. And you're welcome to call in. We're going to take a five-minute reprieve here, though, and then we'll continue. So much for playing that. I hope that I was trying to figure this out during the intermission here, and I think permissions have been granted. Doug will have to check on that and see where we're at, and if we have the permissions, then we can play more songs. Mm. So I'll have to wait for his confirmation on that. Okay, well, I'd like to share a little bit, and maybe you could go into this. We can start with this. You were reading the very beginning of Lesson 100.
Yes.
You started talking about that we are a part of God's plan. We are, you know, here to fulfill a portion of God's plan. And that was, you know, that connected me right to something that I read from in what Saint Germain and I were working on yesterday, which is from a oneness perspective, this is personal responsibility to self, capital S. As you know yourself as God, then your personal responsibility becomes one with all life, which is interdependent, as giving and receiving to your whole self, capital S, in which you are an integral part. As such, life could not be completely fulfilled without your full participation. You are a part of life and a part of God. You are life and you are God. You are that God-life being, individualized within many forms, and your own form is just as much God's temple as the rest of the forms that host the Holy Spirit. And so, when we align with our presence, the true service in the presence becomes a joy and is effortless. You made mention of this. This Lesson 100 speaks about that. It's very parallel.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's Jesus and Saint Germain pretty much saying the same thing.
There's a really nice picture of Jesus and Saint Germain. They're actually shaking hands. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but someone brought that picture through, and I can't remember who the artist is who brought that through. But it's Jesus and Saint Germain, and I think in the background is like the causal body of the presence. And they're standing in front of it, and they're shaking hands like they've, you know, brother, and brother, you know, hand in hand. It's in partnership. So, yeah, they work very well together.
Yeah, I think it brings to mind, you know, as your mind opens up and you become more of that Christ consciousness, or you realize it, you know, your mind ascends and it changes, your perceptions change, your outlook changes, and there is more of a sense of oneness and expansion, and you can actually feel and experience yourself as that one, and in that state you can see the world as a dream and as an illusion. It's quite an experience. It's something, you know, it's what they call like an enlightenment experience, I suppose. It enlightens your minds and gives you a vision of the truth and reality and reminds you, which you were talking about, and you remember who you are. And the practice then just becomes more of an opening up to that as you let go of the erroneous beliefs, and you start accepting more and more of the truth and the remembering. And it's just like an expansion. And as you expand, you know, your joy naturally comes forth because it is who you are. It's just a repetition of the same thing. But what the course does, it's a mind training which takes minds that are quite new to this kind of awareness and realization along a path. So, you know, the mind that is so attached to this dream world, this material world, it needs a gradual unfolding and a retraining and a letting go, because it even says in the course that there comes a point where it can be quite disorientated. So this is why we have time. This is why we have the training, the mind training, the education. Whichever path an individual chooses, the Course in Miracles is one. But for me, you know, I find it's like it's a steady progression, which involves what you talked about, which is progressive revelation, which is an important thing. In fact, I actually used that with my group the last time I spoke to them, because it is an integral and an essential part of progressive revelation of who you are.
Indeed.
And it's a way of, you know, making mental, emotional, and physical adjustments as you go along.
Yeah. These are wonderful wonderful things to discuss. You also mentioned, I have a whole page of revelations. Again, I'm gonna give out the 800 number. It's toll-free U.S. and Canada, so if anyone has questions, wants to call in, if you have something that you're working on and you just, you're stuck, if there's something you had what I like to call a revolving question mark, it kind of comes to the front and it kind of, okay, you don't get an answer and it just kind of goes around and it makes its way around your head and then it comes back to the forefront. That's the thought form I like to use. But if you have a revolving question that has yet to be answered, maybe you want to share that. So anyway, the number is 888-627-6008. And before we continue, we have some really wonderful news. I was able to get the permissions up for those new songs, so we can play one of Anthony's new pieces that he's composed a decree to. And this is Welcome the Light.
Almighty presence of God, I am in and behind the sun. I welcome thy light, which floods all the earth, into my life, into my mind, into my spirit, into my soul. Radiant blaze forth thy light. Break the bonds of darkness and superstition. Charge me with the great clearness of thy white fire radiance. I am thy child, and each day I become more of thy manifestation. Almighty presence of God, I am in and behind the sun. I welcome my soul, radiate and blaze forth thy light. Break the bonds of darkness and superstition. Charge me with the great clearness of thy white fire radiance. I am thy child, and each day I become more of thy manifestation. Almighty presence of God, I am. In and behind the sun, I welcome thy light, which floods all the earth, into my life, into my mind, into my spirit, into my soul. Radiate and blaze forth thy light. Break the bonds of darkness and superstition. Charge me with the great clearness of thy white fire radiance. I am thy child, and each day I become more of a manifestation. I am the light of the world. I am born again. I am born of God. I am the resurrection and the life.
I am the resurrection.
was beautiful.
Well, thank you for playing that. I would just like to mention that they are repetitive, and that is for a reason. For me, when I do affirmations and invocations, it helps when I put them to music so I can sing them. And the reason they're repetitive is because it helps to integrate the message. So anybody who's wondering why they may be repetitive, that's the reason. It is an invocation and affirmation.
Indeed, and that's how they work. And I do the same things with my application, with my affirmations and decrees. I've been drawn to, instead of speaking them and saying them, you know, quickly, I do that too, because there's something that happens. There's an alchemy that happens when you start speaking with the word, the science of the spoken word, and using your voice and using harmony. You're invoking a lot of light when you're doing that. And when you start gradually, it's kind of like a natural progression where you're able to just say it more quickly and with more ease. It's like this grace starts coming through. And you notice that the rhythm picks up, and you notice that your voice is clearer and probably a little lighter and maybe even more loud, but more clear, more pronounced. And what's happening is actually there's a thought form that's being created. Whatever you're thinking about and what you're feeling, all of these things are coming in. It's an alchemical process. It's like a sacred fire alchemy. And so it's important to hold a really good positive visual while you're doing these too. It's something that Saint Germain has really been working with me on. And it's something that happens when I start the decrees. I'll see like the sun and clear sky blue. And I'll start invoking, and then all of a sudden I'll notice automatically my voice goes up a notch, like an octave, but not a full octave, but it goes up, and then it goes up again, and then it goes up again. So it's like a natural progression. It just starts going up the scale, and it's really just precise. Mathematically, it's precise as it comes through. So it starts happening. Yeah, so it's perfect. The way you're doing it is just perfect. It's coming through. It's quite natural, probably, for you to experience that.
Well, it does. Yeah, it is more natural for me because I find myself singing them at any time during the day. I'll find myself singing them. So, you know, I'm doing it without any effort. It's just natural and spontaneous, and I'm enjoying it.
And you know, this is part of the daily, the hourly part of the application.
Yeah,
just starts coming up, and you feel inspired to do something. That's actually you're living your application.
Yeah,
it's really integrated, and it really sounds very like you have. I don't know what you've done with voices. Do you actually have a band with you singing that, or is this
that's all me. I write it, I record it, I play all the instruments and the different frequencies of tone. I play the lower part, the higher part, and it's all me on my computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty masterful.
Well, it's fun for me. It's what I enjoy doing. For me, it's better than having a real job.
Actually, that is a real job.
Yeah.
You mean it's better than having an unreal job?
Yeah.
That's what you really meant to say. Yeah. That's great. I really enjoyed that very much. I could hear the layers of the voice, and it was that's a beautiful technique to bring that through. It's great.
Yeah, I started playing around with tones some years ago, you know, with different ohms and different sounds and guttural noises, and I started making noises. For me, the intention was to vibrate the different frequencies in my body. from the deep tones, because I knew they vibrated lower frequency energies in my body, the more dense energy. So I used different frequencies, and I would practice going up and down the scales, and I could feel the vibrations in the different parts of the body. So I was also intuitively aware that they actually stimulated different energy centers as well. So, I am aware of working with frequencies. I mean, at some point, what I was hoping to do is to tune all my instruments to, the solfeggio frequencies. It's a little bit impractical, though, at the moment.
Thank you.
Hello, Eve.
Hello, Anthony.
Are you back?
Yeah, you must be front. They gave me a really nice little lesson there. They said, oops, don't put your papers, your show papers, by the hibernate button on your computer again. So, my computer had to go to sleep for a moment, I guess. But I stayed awake through the process. I just want you to know that. It was good. So, wow, it's great. And everyone got to hear your other beautiful piece of music there.
Yeah, that's another affirmation decree. I was hoping you'd play that one because I like that one. That makes me dance around a bit. I find myself dancing around the kitchen when I play that one.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, movement is a very important part of the practice, too, to apply movement. And I mean, this kind of movement is more than just, you know, going for a walk. Of course, any type of activity, you know, physical activity is really good if you're inclined to go for a walk. Sometimes your body wants that. You know, but just regular movement, like free form movement, yoga is great. All kinds of activity is great. I have found, though, that to really plug in to your presence and bring the natural current of your own authentic presence through is to just allow yourself to be in that space, be still with the presence, with your own individual presence, and allow that energy to animate you and to not think about what it looks like. Or what, you know, how silly it might look or appear to be. It's like a natural yoga. Your body has a natural yoga that emerges from it if you allow yourself to be in that oneness with your presence.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. And it also, what it does is your presence knows what areas of your body are holding the pockets of energy that need to be, you know, moved and shaken off, so to speak. And it can just naturally move those areas into different kinds of movements and positions and, you know, maybe hand gestures, maybe mudras or whatever. But if you move in a certain way, if you allow what feels natural in a way for you to move with your presence, allow your body to move in that way and just trust the process, you'll actually release a lot of toxins and stuff that are in the body.
Yeah. I think you can also release any tensions and frustrations as well.
Exactly. Because they can build up.
Yeah.
You don't have a regular application. But all these things are, you know, points on the path of application. They're all aspects of this large thing that I have discovered is really a whole practice. It's mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. So there's all four that, you know, they need some kind of nurturing.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, they seem to be part of a natural need for us to be creative and expressive. So when we're actually going with the flow, we're expressing our true self, our natural state, and it's joyful. It's when we restrict that we can feel unhappy or depressed or sad or whatever. And, you know, again, this is why, you know, I enjoy what I do so much. I know I'm one of those people, I play the music that I write because I enjoy them. That's why I play them.
Yeah, this, you know, the same goes for me when I do the meditations too. I do things that are really, they're meaningful for me. And they've also helped me, you know, to awaken. There are things that I actually do. There are meditations and techniques that I actually work with. And I just really love to share that. Some things that are just inspired that I put to music, you know, there's no thinking. There's no mind involved in what I do. Not at all. There's no thinking about it at all. There's no figuring out and going back to it and then, you know, putting that part in. I really don't have that kind of process. It's really very just comes right through and it's perfect how it comes through.
Well, it's the same when I write these invocations or I record them or whatever. I get this idea in my mind, and I think this is the appropriate application for this time. And then I just pick up a guitar, and the next thing, you know, I feel this inspiration to put it to music, because that's what brings the most joy for me. You know, it's the rhythm, the movement, the creativity of it.
Yeah. And that's really being in divine flow with your portion. You know, that's, you know, that goes back to the Course in Miracles, is that God wants each of us to be happy. True happiness is actually like our true state of being. It's into true joy, and the Ascended Masters talk about that. There is something else that you mentioned in the Course in Miracles, and like I said, I have a page and a half probably of notes and revelations. But I'd just like to touch on a couple that are really calling out to be shared. This one, and I have noticed that this is also prevalent in the Ascended Master teachings, is that you need help to get out. You need to get out of the mind of wherever you, it's kind of like human consciousness. It got to a point where it became so low that they needed help to come up, to raise in consciousness, and if they didn't have that help, humanity would have perished a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, and what we do with the Ascended Masters is that, you know, this is the Holy Christ self. Jesus, you know, he's an Ascended Master now, of course, but he gave a portion of his consciousness to each of us. And that is what our Holy Christ self is. That's actually a part of his consciousness. This is his dispensation to humanity, to the earth. And that each of us have him within us. And that is the mediator between him, between us, which is, you know, the lower self of the personality or the human consciousness, and the Father, God, the I Am presence, the almighty I Am that I Am. So we go through the Christ mind to communicate with the I Am presence. And as we communicate more with the Holy Christ self and we integrate the outer personality with our Christed self, what happens is the integration, we start feeling more of that wholeness, more of that completeness of our own authentic nature of that God expression. We start to feel our own individual presence because Christ is already one with the presence. And then when that happens, then the revelation starts coming more and more quickly because you're more in alignment with the Christ. It's this emerging. It's kind of like that split mind is being healed. It's like the threads of that seam are being pulled out of the fabric, and the fabric is being reminded that it's actually always been whole. And then but as the threads come out, you can receive more revelation as the more threads come out, the more you remember your wholeness. So I don't know if I'm sure you have experience with that. I don't know if you'd like to cite any experiences from that, but I just know that it's very prevalent among Ascended Master students and teachings that we need to call. We need to make the call to come out from the dream, or to come out from the story. We need help to get out of whatever level of consciousness that humankind fell into. And really, it's also been, you know, these huge momentums. You said, let's see, the self is already complete, and that we share rather than to get. And it's, we can liken this to the unveiling of the layers of perception.
Yes.
It's like an unveiling of that which brings us into our Holy Christ self when we realize that. There are so many amazing things here from the Course that you spoke about. I couldn't even touch on all of them, but if you'd like to share some experience with that, because I resonated very highly with many things that came through.
Yeah, I think, well, that's what I really like about the Course, is it takes that simple premise. I think this is what the Course is all about, sorting out the real from the unreal, once you've got that clear in your mind, and it kind of demonstrates it and shows you through the contrast. And it just makes that clear in your mind. And that's what I have found has helped me since I've been studying the course quite intensely, was that I was able to compare the unreal with the real more clearly. Once you get that, the clarity starts coming, then the undoing becomes easier, because unless you have that awareness, it can't be healed. The Course in Miracles says, you know, to bring the darkness to the light, you know, by invoking the Christ consciousness and the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it ourselves. He said, of ourselves, we don't know the difference. The Course basically says to us, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And the ego, the ego thinking of this world, is basically it wants to be right about everything. But unfortunately, it's not the truth, and it never will be. It's trying to manifest the impossible, basically. You know, it's because it's based in fear, it's based on illusion. And, you know, it is pretty ingrained in us, and as you mentioned it yourself, you know, we've been living this experience for so long that we need help from the light, from the Holy Spirit or the Ascended Master, whoever we choose, through our higher self, and which the Course in Miracles says it is part of our own mind. You know, there's a part of our mind which has never forgotten who we are. It is part of the, what you call, the right-minded, as a part of the wrong-minded. So again, you know, it's making the comparison. So it really, it takes all the apparent complexities and all the confusions, all the illusions and delusions, and distills them down to this very basic, simple idea that it's either love or fear, and there is only love, so fear doesn't exist. So anything that comes from fear is basically part of the temporary and the illusion. And the only thing that's left then is what is eternal, and which is the truth, and which is God, and which has been created by God. So it makes it as simple as possible. But you see, it does take a while to make the transition, and that's been my experience. As I've worked with the Course, things have gradually become more clear. And that progressive revelation that you talked about has been coming in. My sort of outlook has changed and my internal state changes. Every now and again, however, I have noticed that while I'm still, you know, dithering back and forth, my ego sometimes really kicks up big time. And it brings out its biggest guns, you know, its biggest assets, if you like. And that's when, you know, the tensions in our mind, we can experience it. But then again, I see it as an opportunity to heal. So no matter how sort of uncomfortable or how difficult or how challenging it seemed, you know, there's a part of my mind now which is connected with the Spirit, reminding me that this too shall pass. This too is not the truth. And as it says, you know, in the early courses in the Course in Miracles, you know, it teaches us to look at objects in the outer world and say that nothing that I see means anything. And then as it goes along in some of the other course lessons, it says that these thoughts do not mean anything. And our thoughts are the basis of our feelings. So it means that the thoughts that come, the feelings that come from those thoughts are also erroneous. So they're not true either. So it is a case then of just, you know, calling into the Holy Spirit or whoever you're working with you to support you through this process until it basically arises and passes away. Because it has no reality, it must pass away. Mm-hmm. So no matter how bad things appear to be, they will arise and pass away if you do not judge them. If you, you know, if you realize that, you know, you're holding on to them on some level, because we've created all these thoughts and beliefs for some reason based on our understandings previous, and the past is over. So it's all past. So what we're tending to do is repeat the past in the present. and then we project it into the future. But the Course in Miracles, or working with the teachers and masters, enables us to detach and let go of the past so that we can create a new future, a new present, you know, based on truth. And the more we focus our thinking on the truth, the more joyful our life becomes and the more fulfilling. But it can only happen in the present. So this is why that lesson number 100 focused on experiencing happiness and joy now. And he says not to put things out into the future, thinking, well, when I get this or when I get that, because if we sort of base our happiness on some experience in the outside world to happen or some condition to change, we'll never be happy. It's an inside job. It has to start with our own mind and to choose it now, right now. And if we're not feeling that, then, you know, then we need more exercises or more practice or more undoing.
I'm going to make a choice right now. And that choice is actually a movement. I'd like to introduce a song called Wandering Sadhu from Desert Dwellers. It's a couple minutes long. And I'd like for, you know, everyone who's listening, who's stayed with us for this long, thank you so much. Here's a nice opportunity. It's a beautiful piece. And I hope you enjoy it. It's a nice slow motion. You can move to it or you could just relax and meditate to it. But I'd like to do that right now.
Thank you.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Oh, that was wonderful.
Oh, so refreshing. I actually did get up and move because I was feeling I said, okay, it's time to move.
Me too.
Oh, goody.
I got up and moved, and I had a little dance with my cat.
Oh, how precious.
She was very happy. She's been wanting my attention for a while now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's quite late over here, so she's got that evening getting excited kind of thing going on. She's running up and down the furniture and trying to get my attention.
I can relate to that. My cat does something similar. Not lately, but he sometimes, yeah, when I'd be up late doing websites or graphics or something, he'd be all over the place trying to get my attention. I was inspired a bit earlier, and I did pull a card for everyone on the call today on the show. And it's just one card from the Ascended Masters Oracle Cards, which is by Doreen Virtue. And the card that came out was, interestingly enough, Mother Mary. And Mother Mary says, nurture yourself. You have given a lot of yourself lately, and now it's time to give something to yourself. You've drawn this card because you need to nurture yourself. This means taking good care of your body through sleep, detoxification, and exercise. It also means taking care of your needs as you would for others, to have more energy, abundance, peace, purpose, and everything that you desire. Nurture yourself. Additional meanings are balance giving to others with receiving for yourself, honor your inner voice, get some rest, take care of your body, nurture your inner child. Your life purpose involves helping children. Mother Mary is with you, helping and guiding you. You can also ask Mother Mary for a divine assignment to help children as your life's work. Been there, you know it.
Yes.
So I think we're probably about ready to wrap up. We have a few more minutes. Are you inspired, Anthony? You've been very inspiring for me today, and I have a lot to share. But
well, I was just thinking about what you just read, you know, about children, working with children, and you know, and strangely enough, over the years, children have figured, you know, some way or another in a lot of the things that I've, a lot of the work that I've done in one form or another. And the thought that came to my mind is, well, children are our future, and they need our care, they need our protection, and you know, they need our inspiration and guidance, and we are models for our children. So, you know,
indeed, it's just like in the song, there's another song that you put together. It's actually a decree that Saint Germain gave me that came through, that you were inspired to put to music, and it's called Diamond Fire Points of Light. And it says, example set for man.
Yeah.
Example set for man.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we are thinking about children as well, you know, that actually, I would add to that our own inner child, and that needs nurturing as well.
That's what I was feeling when you were talking about the children. I'm feeling, yeah, and our inner child too, because truly without, you know, the layers of the conditioning and the outer world experience, you know, that whole momentum of the unreality around us, without that completely unveiled and the perfection, you know, radiating through us of our individualized presence, we are actually ageless, and eternal youth is here because, you know, we are one with the light at that point. So no age, and we are all, you know, the eternal youth is here because the eternal life of God is that natural, you know, love and energy that comes through. It's just perfect, and we are that manifest in form. So, you know, all of these things that we're working with, Ascended Master teachings, of course, in Miracles, Psychology, and Vision, it all deals with the unwinding and the unlearning of the unreality. And it's the unveiling our true authenticity. so that we can step into that truth and anchor there.
And children are our teachers as well, because they remind us to enjoy ourselves. And they remind us how to be natural and spontaneous. And they're naturally joyful.
Indeed.
So I would say that actually, are we teaching them or are they teaching us? Who's teaching who?
I would say it works both ways.
Yeah.
When we are being natural, authentic, you know, in our presence, then we can be a way shower for others. And we see children being, you know, who they are naturally. You know, there's, you know, the qualities that come into my awareness are spontaneity and, you know, being in the moment, living right now. They're not worried about what happened yesterday or, you know, what's for dinner. They're not worried about any of that. They're running around having a good time. And yeah. It's joy. It's to express joy. And, you know, that's an amazing lesson for all of us, is to just naturally be in who we are to express that joy. Because that's what happens when we are naturally relaxed and at peace. We can then express the joy that's already present within us. We don't have to actually cultivate the quality of joy. It's already naturally present.
Yeah, that reminds me of the last Saturday that I went to Cardiff to the Doctor Who experience with my grandson, and we had a wonderful, joyful time. He was I had a wonderful time that I mentioned it to you. So I don't see them very often, so we all went out together and we had a wonderful day. And it was a joy to be with him and to watch him and to play with him.
Excellent.
I just thought I'd like to share that as we were talking about children.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's funny. Over here, I started doing this before I moved to Mount Shasta. I lived in Oregon before Mount Shasta, and then I lived in a couple of other places too, but pretty much it started a couple years ago, and I got this really strongly. Saint Germain, I was going shopping. I think I was doing a grocery run or something, and as I was driving back towards the house out from town, there was just, I don't know, it was a young teenage boy just walking down the street, and he looked at me. All of a sudden, I put my hand up and I waved at him, and he put his hand up and he waved at me. I didn't know who he was. And then the revelation was, everybody waves in heaven.
Mm.
Everybody waves in heaven. So it doesn't matter if you don't know anyone personally. I do that here all the time in Mount Shasta. I wave to the kids. They wave at me. We all look. We smile. It's a really beautiful expression of, yes, here we are. It's heaven on earth, and everybody waves in heaven. So we've got about maybe less than 30 seconds left. We're going to wrap up now.
Well, remember that the spirit recognizes the spirit.
That's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we all recognize each other for who we really are.
It comes back to the sonship, the oneness that we all are.
Yes. So we thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and whoever stayed with us for this long, thank you. Bless your sweet hearts.
You.
Love you all.
Love you.
Blessings and oneness. We love you. We love you. We love you. And blessings and oneness to everyone. We'll see you on the air next week.